guys. Well, we are so excited to be back in our studio. We've done a whole series here at the Vision Conference with our speakers, and I want to introduce you to actually our attorney here with our record label, Brock Scheinen. And Brock, you've just been such a blessing to our church.
Thanks.
I want to thank you. You just spoke, brought a great message here at the Vision Conference. But we want to stay with this topic of vision, and I want to speak to you guys right now on vision. And Brock, we were just dialoguing. I know you represent a lot of very well-known labels.
Right.
You can talk who they are if you feel so led to. But I'm sure you have seen vision. I'm sure that you have seen a lot of labels come and go, and the highs and the lows. And how do you stay true to a vision? Maybe you're pursuing the music industry, and maybe you're watching this right now going, wow, give me some pointers. But I want to even go deeper with vision. How do I stay with a vision when I've got a really creative idea or have a beautiful song and not lose that vision that either God gave me or I've been inspired by? How do I stay focused with that vision? What would you say?
It's a great question. I think so much of it depends on whether it's an individual or it's an organization, because I think to some extent you have, from an individual perspective, when you have that vision and you want to birth something, part of it is just following through. I mean, what I've seen over the years is so many people will start something and it's something beautiful, it's something great, but they won't get the right feedback or they won't get the right traction. And it just kind of kills something in them where they just let go of it. And I see the same thing organizationally, but I think when you look at what's coming out of you creatively and wanting that to thrive and wanting that to actually pull more out of you, and you want to see more follow that, so much of it is just allowing it to have its life. And when it gets punched and when it gets, you know, it doesn't go exactly how you plan, to keep pouring in. That's such a critical piece that I see that's missing, is to keep pouring in, keep
don't
pouring
quit.
Into it.
Don't quit. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this. So as you've seen artists come along, and I'm just curious, because here we are kind of in the LA, OC area. Artists come to LA, they're going to pursue the industry, they're going to be found. And maybe they're Christian artists and they come and they want to find their voice. And then the industry offers them opportunities that maybe aren't in alignment with their character, with their conviction. Let's talk a little bit about how do we handle when opportunities come. I know I teach this a lot. Open doors and shut doors and staying true to our core character. What would be some advice you'd give somebody right now when that door opens? How to know whether that's the door of opportunity from God?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I think because we get so used to this mindset of like, if it's God, it's going to be easy. And I think there's biblical reference points, and I think there's just life reference points where sometimes you have to kick the door down. And sometimes God's saying to kick that door down, you know, take that land. And we could pull some biblical examples where it was very much like you are supposed to take that land, and it's a fight. But I think on the value side of it is that we have these sort of situational ethics, and we go into the industry and we think, well, you know, when I'm there, I'll figure it out. And I truly believe if you don't have a plan for how you're going to deal with you're just going to trip over yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't know, I mean, I'm reminded of, I was being asked a similar question probably 8 or 9 years ago. And I said, you got to be like a hobbit. And I know it sounds funny, but it's those things can't get to you.
Yeah.
And the only way that I think that you get through where you're on the verge of compromising your values and you're on the verge of like, that's too close to something I just don't want to do, is to know before you get in there that I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know where your lane lines are and you stay with them.
Yeah.
And I think God's going to give you like sort of the bumpers and the buffers that you need. But if you go into these moments, you go into these meetings and these opportunities and you know, this is my value system and I'm ready to leave $1 million on the table.
Right.
If it means sacrificing my value system, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. You know, Brock, this is kind of an interesting question. It's just kind of coming to my mind. I want to get your opinion on it. We live in a very uncertain days, to be honest with you, as believers, you know, and things are getting very tricky politically. We'll talk it that way. So let me share with you where I'm going with this. I was just speaking to someone who has a great opportunity with a very large company, but the company was offended by their email address because it had God in it.
Right.
So they said, hey, we have to cease business with you today, or you got to get a new email address. And the person said to me, you know, I'm going to give them my other email address and, you know, hey, no big deal. Just use this email address. And something in this little Baptist girl rose up in me and goes, how could you compromise? How could you?
Sure.
Because there's something in me. But then as he began to share with me, the greater good is when I get in the situation with this organization and company, they're going to see Christ shine. I cannot sure. suppress the Almighty God that's in me.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit. Where's the fine line of opportunity that would might seem like a compromise to someone?
Sure.
When in reality, it's an open door with a testimony, with a simple, hey, use this email address if that offends you. Where do you draw that line?
It's a great question. And I actually am reminded of part of John C. Maxwell's story, mm-hmm. where he talked about he was preaching. He's taught, his languaging is to believers. And then he had a survey done. And I don't remember if it was his publisher, if he hired an outside company, but he realized that more than half of the people following him, reading his materials or whatever, were out, you know, marketplace
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not speaking their language. So, and this is my perception of what how he actually walked through it was, I'm going to change some of the languaging mm-hmm. and it's still going to be biblical. It's still Christ. It's still filled with the Spirit,
yes.
but the language that we use is going to be something they understand.
Yeah.
And he told a story later in another interview where there were business leaders that he was speaking to. And they were like, this is amazing. What's your source? What's your source material? And he said, you don't want to know.
Yeah, right?
and they kept pushing him. What do you, no, seriously. Like, are you reading these kind of manuals or journals? Like, what's your source? And he goes, you don't want to know. And he said, so the event ended and one of them pulled him aside and said, no, I need to know. What is your source? And he said, the Bible.
Yeah.
And through a series of events and relational issues, this guy came to Christ, but it was through understanding, no, John C. Maxwell knows what he's talking about.
Right.
And he's speaking my language, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with
yeah.
God. So
yeah.
I think that's a big piece of it.
Yeah. You know, and I think, Brock, you know, you've watched this journey over the last few years with us here at Influence Church, and we obviously have Influence Music. I'm going to do a shout out to Influence Music. And Brock, you have so walked alongside of us. But we just came from a panel with our team, and they began talking about how often the church doesn't write songs for the world.
Right.
We have to go to the world to get world songs. And you know, it's funny because like if I'm listening to a secular song, I almost feel I have to hide. Like I can't let anybody know I'm listening to a secular song.
Right.
There's Christian songs and there's secular songs.
Right.
And we have this division. Why can't we have a song that ministers to all? And I understand, you know, somebody's watching or listening to the podcast right now going, hey, Tammy, you just don't get it. No, I do get it. But I do know that we can write songs like we just did, Proud, or our new song, Honest, that's getting ready to come out. And A Real Lost World,
yeah.
or Rebels, the song that we're doing, can come out. You can find me with the Rebels, the Dreamers, and the Sinners. And that's life. Can you speak to that? And how do we find this neutral place that we reach the world with real songs and a real message? Where's that balance?
Yeah, I think that it's a tough road. I do. I think almost every worship label that I've ever worked with and ever known has kind of asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I do personally believe that some of it has to do with definitions.
Okay.
When we say congregational worship, we're talking about a congregation of believers engaging in worship.
Okay.
And I think maybe there's languaging around congregational worship that is slightly different than worship as a broader concept.
Mm-hmm.
We can worship God with our music, but it's not necessarily intended for singing in the church. Maybe there's a line that we start to draw. And over here in this little bucket is stuff it's definitely intended, it's written for our body, it's written for believers.
Yeah.
Then there's this other stuff that maybe we can sing in church, but maybe it can be sang outside of church. And I'm reminded of Saint Francis of Assisi
yeah.
when he says, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian shoemaker, I don't want to put crosses on the shoes. I want to make the best shoes possible.
So good.
With music, we want the same thing, but there's a context for when we don't necessarily want to be worshiping God with language that's intended for the world when it's about worship in
yeah.
that moment.
Yes.
But there's times where we want to bring Jesus to the world that it's going to use language that the world's familiar with,
yeah.
pain and loss and suffering. So
yeah,
I do think
good.
Part of it is just defining the use
mm-hmm.
and defining, you know, for me, and I'm very, maybe this is the vineyard history in me,
mm-hmm.
preserving congregational worship
mm-hmm.
almost as if it's sacred. that there's certain things that we don't do in congregational worship. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a broader spectrum of worship and music in general, Christian music, that I think can really hit that spot.
I love it. Well, you know, everyone that's watching, if you're listening, you know anything about me or my love for prayer walking and worship in my war room, to me, I love my worship music. Yeah. And that's a different place than when I'm sitting down with someone that's been in hurt and pain and I can play a song like Proud or, like we said, Rebels or Honest. So I appreciate you being honest and talking a little bit about that. I want to ask one last thing. We like to end this way. It's a vision conference. What would be a word that you would give to our listeners, our women of influence, if they have this vision, they have this heart inside of them to do something, it's burning in them, but there's either fear or guilt or shame or something. What would be your word that you would challenge our listening audience right now to pursue their vision?
I think it's literally that word. It's pursue it. Pursue it with everything that's in you. Pursue it with the passion and the intensity of, it doesn't matter if you fall flat on your face. I think we're so caught up in being afraid of failure that we won't fail. And I actually think it's wisdom to run, I'm not saying run towards failure with the intention of failing, but I think there's wisdom in just running towards the pursuit of that passion, knowing you could fall flat on your face. And if you get back up and run after it again, you'll get there.
Yeah.
I think that's the key right there.
Yeah, so good. Such great wisdom. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Brock, for your time and your insight. Appreciate you guys being here. Check in again. God bless.